Welcome to Take Care, a weekly conversation on health and wellness, produced by WRVO Public Media. I'm Lorraine Rapp.
And I'm Linda Lowen. The poet John Donne famously said, "No man is an island," meaning that we cannot live in isolation. Our connection to each other is what makes us thrive. So why is it in our highly connected world we're becoming less capable of functioning in relationships? With technology at our fingertips that puts us in contact with hundreds, even thousands of people, why do so many of us feel disconnected and without a community?
Our next guest has found this trend increasing in her private practice and in her work in the public eye. Dr. Vinita Mehta is a licensed clinical psychologist, journalist, and media expert. Her specialties include depression and anxiety and building health and resilience. Her article, "Have We Become Less Capable of Forming Relationships?" appears in Psychology Today's Head Games blog. Dr. Mehta joins us from her office in Washington, D.C.
Welcome to Take Care, Dr. Mehta. Thank you for coming on our show.
Well, thank you for having me.
Having good, solid relationships is essential to our continued health and well-being. And a number of studies are now revealing that those who have satisfying relationships with family, friends, and others in their community are happier, they have fewer health problems, and they live longer. But your Psychology Today article identifies that people are becoming less capable of forming and functioning in relationships. What are you finding accounts for this?
Well, there was a very interesting meta-analysis, a study done showing that there has been a trend over the last several decades where there's something that we call attachment, and there's secure attachment and insecure attachment. And what we're finding is that there's a decrease in secure attachment and a rise in insecure attachment. And basically what this means for relationships is that people are having a harder time feeling connected and bonded to other people, including caregivers, friends, you know, people in the community, and that there are different reasons for why this may be the case. One big thing that we're seeing is that experiences in early childhood with the breakdown of extended families seems to be one major contributor, but also the rise of media usage is yet another. So it seems like some of these streams coming together are making it difficult for people to actually feel connected to the people, you know, the people who are immediately around them.
You bring up something that is so critical because my children are older now, but I am stunned at the number of parents who hand over a device to anywhere from a 10-month-old to an 18-month-old, and they let them entertain themselves and they go on about their business. I can't help but think that something gets lost in that.
Yeah, the human spark, I think, that there is something that is captured when you are actually with another person and connecting that just cannot be replicated by a screen. It just will never be the same, and it will never satisfy those kinds of desires and basic longings that are wired in us. We need to connect.
I'm curious about what age group these studies are being done on. For instance, while we may be stunned that we see a 2-year-old with an iPad, I recall really fun videos that my son watched, and Sesame Street and all of that. And I bet the older generations saw younger kids in the 60s watching educational television shows, and they probably worried about the same types of things. What is different about the devices today than watching something on PBS?
Well, I think that what can happen is that you can literally be at a dinner table. This study was actually of undergraduates, so that's a very unique time in life, with the first time you're away from your parents, forging your own adult identity. But I think what makes these devices so different is that you can literally be sitting at a table with other people and everyone can be on their mobile phone doing their own thing. And rather than speaking with each other, with a PBS program, it would be perhaps a family watching it together, or it would be something that would be inclusive of everybody. But a mobile phone really, you know, tends not to be inclusive of the group.
I also wonder, I just came from an event where there was a speaker, and that person was speaking, and I was sitting next to two people, and the one to my right was doing a lot of work on the phone.
Mm.
And, you know, I'm optimistic, saying, well, it's a conference, maybe somebody's just twittering, but I don't think so. So I wonder, are we also talking about a lack of civility in that we're less likely to focus on another human being in the room and more likely to go toward that which entertains us?
I think you bring up a great point. It seems that the rules are beginning to change, that it seems increasingly that people are finding that they bring out their phones wherever they feel that they need to, and yet you see these signs. I know at my own gym, there are signs asking people not to use their cell phone at the gym. So there does seem to be some kind of change in our society about, in part, difficulty turning off, that because people now have smartphones, the idea is that everyone should be accessible all the time, and that it's very, very difficult not to be accessible to others.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Take Care, a conversation on health and wellness produced by WRVO Public Media. I'm Linda Lowen.
And I'm Lorraine Rapp.
And our guest today, talking about relationship disconnect and the involvement of technology in that disconnect, is Dr. Vinita Mehta. She's a licensed clinical psychologist, journalist, and media expert. Her article, Have We Become Less Capable of Forming Relationships, appears in Psychology Today's Head Games blog. Dr. Mehta, I also wonder if there's something that has to do with the entertainment factor. In other words, people are difficult. They don't always make us happy. And so we tend to go toward that which makes us happy. Games make us happy. Cat videos make us happy. And so I might think to myself, well, I'm having a good time. I'm relaxing. I don't need to interact with other people. But there must be a flaw to this sort of thinking. What's missing from that?
Well, I think your point is well taken. I don't think that it's all bad. You know, when I work with patients on reducing anxiety, one of the main strategies that we use is distraction. And your phone can offer great distractions by way of a crossword puzzle or brain teasers that really can take your focus from one area to another in a good way, in a positive way. But then I think what you might be speaking to is the nature of escapism, and that perhaps the world online becomes much more interesting than the real world, the actual world. And where if that becomes more satisfying for a person, well, then, you know, that's something to perhaps look at.
Let's get back to something you brought up earlier on about the secure attachment versus the insecure attachment, because I'm assuming you're talking about very early childhood.
Yeah.
Tell us what happens, and I feel like this is all so new to us. I mean, I'm sure they don't even have 20-year studies yet, or do they, about what negative consequences we're going to be experiencing in society in the coming years because of these attachments that aren't being made.
Well, apart from how media usage may affect development in those early years and what that could look like, I agree with you. I think the studies are just coming out now because this is really the first generation that really grew up online, and this is all they've known. And I think we're still seeing what the effects of media usage for this generation is. But there are other factors that also play a role, and I think one big one, which I kind of touched on before, was the breakdown of the extended family and community, and that they're just, we spend so much more time alone and from a younger age than we ever have, and that we pick up and move from community to community, and we leave our connections over and over again, living so far apart from your family, I mean, this really isn't any big deal anymore to have a bunch of family on the West Coast and, you're on the East Coast. And so the idea is that, how connected we are, what those experiences are like in early childhood can really form the foundation of how it is that we connect to people later on. But we're seeing that even throughout development, there are changes that are making that more and more difficult.
I wonder about the role that compassion plays, because when small children play together and one cries, it seems that there's an innate sense that we don't want to hurt other people. And so if a child cries, other children may be more tender. But if you take away that face-to-face play, does that change how a child is shaped and the role of compassion in their lives?
Gosh, it's so funny that you should say that, because I find increasingly in my own work with patients that often what we end up doing is helping that person, helping the patient develop a more compassionate voice and stance towards himself. It's really incredible to me, and I don't know if there is a study about this, but I can say I'm seeing it in my practice, that people are coming not having really learned compassion towards themselves because they just haven't had very much experience with it coming in. And to me, that's actually a bit alarming because it seems to me that we're losing something very basic in our society, that we care about each other and we look out for each other. So, yes, I agree with you. I think that, you know, the less face-to-face, we don't learn how to really be with each other as much, care for each other, look out for each other.
Dr. Vinita Mehta is a licensed clinical psychologist, journalist, and media expert. We were talking about her article, Have We Become Less Capable of Forming Relationships?, that appears in Psychology Today's Head Games blog. Dr. Mehta joined us from her office in D.C. Thanks so much for being part of Take Care.
Thank you for having me.